The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
This is Talkin' Cowboys. Streaming live from the Dallas Cowboys World Headquarters at the Star in Frisco.
Pollard streaks in! Touchdown!
Parsons has sacked it!
Prescott keeps it! And he bangs it into the touchdown!
And now your hosts, Isaiah Standback, Nick Harris, John Mashoda, and Kyle Yeomans.
It's a Thursday edition of Talking Cowboys presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company. We are live from the Star in Frisco, Texas in the SWBC studios. Mm-hmm. We've got Isaiah Standback, John Mashoda, Chris Beam in the back. I'm Kyle Yeomans. No Nick Harris today or tomorrow.
Sorry.
So strong you are, Jim. The force is strong with you, I see.
John just lifted his microphone and the entire table just tilted on an axis.
I'm sorry.
You've been in the gym to start the new year.
Wouldn't we be playing in the gym?
What's going on, guys?
You tell me, Kyle. What's that sitting on your table there?
That's my Black Rifle coffee. I picked this up this morning.
You going to slam that?
I'm not going to slam that. I'm not. Isaiah, stand
back. Shake it up.
I'm going to shake it, and I'm going to wait for it to calm down.
We didn't learn our lessons from shaking it up.
So you're supposed to shake it. It says shake well, best served chilled over ice. This one is chilled, and you're supposed to shake it. But we learned from Nick, that if you open it after you shake it, it's like it goes pretty much everywhere. So I'm gonna wait for a minute.
Let it settle,
and then I'll open it back.
No fizzy bubbly.
Nope. None of that. None of that.
Oh, man. Yeah, everything's good this way, man. I was up late last night studying, trying to see if there was anything that I can pick up from these guys to be able to convey to our audience. And we'll talk about it, QB Vision. There wasn't a whole lot there, Kyle.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I looked hard.
In a good way or just in general?
Just in general, man. I looked at, last year I looked at our game earlier this year against them. I looked at the 49ers game. I looked at a lot of games. And
they played the 49ers decent in that first half, and then they let it get away a little bit. Hey, they only allowed 27 points in that game to San Francisco. I'm just trying to find a bright side.
I know you are, Kyle.
I'm just trying to find a challenge. I don't want to go into this thinking it's going to be 44-3,
Kyle.
And then
I get
be
it.
Upset.
I get it. I mean, I just go off what's on the film, you know?
Yeah.
You know me, I'm facts-based, baby.
Fascinated at, I don't know if you want to save this for the next segment, to find out what would have to happen for it to be close. What would have to happen for Washington to pull off the upset? You know, obviously taking care of the football, you know, the basics and things like that. Mm-hmm. Maybe a penalty here or there probably might help you out or something. But I'm interested to see what that would take for that to happen.
I would think Dallas would need multiple turnovers. Like, Dallas wouldn't take care of the ball. That would be what, because you talk about turnovers being the great equalizer in football. It would have to be multiple for multiple possessions for Sam Howell. By the way, he was named starting quarterback yesterday.
Hey.
So you know it will be Sam Howell.
Samuel.
Washington would probably have to run the ball very well.
They'd have to run effectively.
Cowboys offense off the field for long periods of time.
Hit a big play or two with Sam Howell, just dropping back and in between his seven sacks that he's going to take on Sunday.
What do you think is going to happen with their coaching situation?
It's not going to be the guy that's there right now.
Yeah.
I don't know that.
You think as soon as this game's over, right now, by then?
Yeah, it'll be pretty quick. Already know.
Will they let him get home?
No. Yes.
I think so.
Yeah, they'll let him get home.
Just out of respect?
Sure.
Yeah. And just the whole new ownership group and all that, I would think that they're going to probably go in another direction.
For sure.
People like Ron Rivera. That's the thing.
Yeah.
There are people that enjoy Ron Rivera being their head coach. And, I mean, I don't know if it's one of those, hey, let's win one for him sort of situations right there at the end. Mm. But
dippity-doo-dah.
Yeah.
How long after the game should the Dallas Cowboys win, that is, do you believe that they let him go?
I would think maybe the next day. I don't think they would do it that day. It makes no sense. I mean, what are you getting start on?
Yeah. Yeah, usually you get a little bit of time off anyways.
I think you'll learn a lot about the professionalism of this new front office.
True.
Based upon how they handle his departure, his potential departure.
That's a good point.
And with it being new ownership, too, a lot of times you want to put your stamp on things initially, and you might have a coaching change regardless. This is, they fired their offensive coordinator last year, at the end of last season. Then they fired Jack Del Rio in the middle of the season, the defensive coordinator. And usually whenever you get rid of those coordinators back-to-back like that, it's a pretty bad sign whenever you still can't win.
So do you believe that the new coach, the potential new head coach, should they make a move, would be on their staff existing already? Or do you think they're going to bring somebody in?
They'll bring somebody in.
I think they're going to bring somebody in. Yeah. I think they're going to give them a clean slate. I think the management side, they probably would love to have that number two overall pick, give that new management, or the new coaching staff, whatever front office pieces move, the ability to draft their franchise quarterback. I think that's what the front office ultimately wants.
All in position to do that with a loss coming up on Sunday. Before we get into QB vision here in a moment and we get to that defense, there were some roster moves yesterday and some news and notes.
What?
Mm-hmm. So, two roster moves, actually.
What?
Yeah.
Well,
three. Three roster moves.
Technically three. Yeah. Lyle Collins still hasn't been finalized yet, but that's likely going to happen today. These are all practice squad moves. These aren't anything for the...
Oh, I was talking about Viliami Fehoko and Deuce Vaughn.
Okay.
Those two, and then...
what about
there's
that?
There's those as well.
What happened?
Deuce Vaughn apparently has an ankle injury.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he got put on IR.
And so Viliami Fehoko has come on.
Twisted up against Detroit is what happened.
I remember that.
What are you looking for? Viliami Fehoko...
What's up there?
Came off of IR.
Sometimes people say things, I get cataracts.
They swap spots. I would say that's a good sign for Rico Dowdle.
Yeah.
Looks like he will. I think you can expect him to play on Sunday. Looks like he'll be back. But yes, Deuce Vaughn has an ankle injury.
I hope Deuce gets better.
He looked like he was moving well in the locker room, so I don't think it's anything long term.
Yeah. You have anything to say, Isaiah?
No, not at all. I just hope that, you know, hopefully he gets better soon.
I don't think this is a terrible thing for Deuce. As weird as that sounds.
I mean, he has an opportunity to focus on getting healthy now.
He has an opportunity to focus on getting healthy and getting ready for training camp.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was an opportunity for him to be on the active roster as a rookie and make a significant impact as a rookie. It didn't materialize. It didn't happen the way that maybe a lot of Cowboys fans, a lot of the Cowboys front office thought early in the season. But now they have an opportunity for him to focus on training camp. He'll be back at training camp because they can put him on the IR stash going into the offseason, no matter how deep of a playoff run it is. And then he's back in Oxnard and he's got a chance to do something next year. So
touché.
It honestly locks him up and gives him a spot purely on the roster, so then he's not going to fall victim to cutting the roster down for playoffs or what it ends up being. He's got a spot here in Dallas going into training camp next year, and I think that's all he can ask for.
He could still come back this year, couldn't he?
I think within 4 weeks in playoffs, yeah.
Yeah, count those out.
Hmm? Yeah.
Just count those out.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Well, I think it would be after the divisional round, right?
Super Bowl
game.
4 weeks.
Yeah. Well, 4 weeks from today, they still have one, two. Yeah, I guess you're right. It would have to. It would be the conference championship game would be the last one. So he could come back for the Super Bowl if he needed to. Deuce Vaughn Super Bowl return.
Yeah.
It is kind of a risk, though, John. Whenever you talk about how thin they are at running back right now, with no more elevations for Malik Davis. Dowdle banged up a little bit last week. You have Hunter Lipke and Tony Pollard as your two guys. I mean, yeah, it bodes well for Dowdle, but what happens when one of those guys gets banged up?
I think you'd be forced to try and sign a free agent.
Go and get
some
somebody.
Type of veteran player that, you know, I don't have a name in front of me right now, but I think that's they probably feel similarly about that player as what they currently have, or they wouldn't make a move like that.
Yeah. I guess if they also get banged up, you could bring up Malik Davis. You could just elevate him at
that
point. So
he'll have three more call-ups when the playoff starts.
It resets?
It resets starting the playoff, so he'll have three more. So
good to know.
There you go.
Look at you, Beamer. I like it.
I see you, Beamer.
He's back there doing some research.
I sit in here
all day, baby.
Our research department is better than yours.
That's right.
The moves that I was going to talk about on the practice squad in terms of additions. I know we talked a little bit about Lyle Collins yesterday. Mm-hmm. Mike McCarthy did not want to talk about it at the podium because things had not been finalized yet. It sounds like today they probably will be. But they have agreed to terms with three other members to add to the practice squad, one of which being Damian Wilson, linebacker, former Dallas Cowboy, rejoining the team.
Interesting.
The next two guys, we're going to be completely honest, don't know anything about him.
Nothing.
Wide receiver Racy McMath. cool name. And
running. How do you spell that?
R A C E Y and M C M A T H.
Racy McMath.
And Sir Roderick Thompson, running back. From, I believe, Texas Tech.
Yeah, I was about to say, Sir Roderick Thompson kind of sounds familiar.
Maybe that's one of the players you can look at if you were to get to injuries. But I thought the most interesting ones, obviously, Damian Wilson and Lyle Collins, just because they've been here before. I think those are the most notable.
Go Tigers!
Right.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you, Ed.
That was for Racy McMath. He's a
LSU guy.
That's right.
LSU wideout.
I've heard that, yeah.
What do you think this says, these different additions? And did they end up dropping anybody from the practice?
Well, they're going to have to. And when you add a wide receiver, it makes me wonder if maybe Martavius Bryant might be out the door. But, yeah, I mean, to add these guys, you're going to have to replace them. There's going to have to be some players taken off of the practice squad to add these players on. So, yeah, that hasn't been announced yet.
Racy McMath, by the way, wide receiver, like you said, played at LSU. He was a Senior Bowl guy back in 2021. 6'2.5", 224 pounds.
Big boy.
Notes that I had on him: buried on the wide receiver depth chart in Baton Rouge, but developed into one of the best special teamers in the SEC, and he worked out of the slot when he was in game action. He only had 14 receptions for 195 yards. During his collegiate tenure, and then his professional career, he was with the Titans for a couple seasons, didn't do a whole lot, then he was on the practice squad for the Colts.
6'3", 225 in the slot.
6'2.5". I rounded up a little bit.
So do I, Kyle.
But
it's a big boy in the slot.
It is a big boy in the slot. But that was it. That was at LSU. I don't know what he's done with the Titans. No. I'm talking about playing in the slot. But he was a 6th-round pick for the Titans and then with practice squad.
That's not good, man. There's a lot of guys who have untold stories. A lot of guys who have not had the opportunities. Everybody thinks that everybody who has the name that you know is the only ballers out there. No, that's not true. A lot of guys who have not had the opportunity, a lot of guys have been buried on rosters. You know, they didn't get their shot. And that's what the scouting department is there for, to be able to find those guys and give them opportunities, should your roster allow for it.
And then I'm looking up Sir Roderick Thompson's numbers here at the moment. He's a rookie, though, right? Anybody know?
As far as I know, I think he is, yeah.
I think he's a...
I don't believe he's played for in a game for another team.
He's a rookie, played in the Collegiate Bowl last year out of Texas Tech, 5'11", 207. To honorable mention, all Big 12, third player in Texas Tech history with 40 career touchdowns, had 765 yards his freshman year, but didn't hit the 700 mark again throughout his collegiate tenure. Ran a 4.67 40, decent speed. Not anything crazy. He was a combine invite.
Sounds like another slot guy.
He's a running back.
Another slot guy.
In other news. Seven Cowboys made the Pro Bowl.
There you go.
Niners had the most with 9. But 7 for the Cowboys. I would say the biggest snub was probably DeMarcus Lawrence. I think that just because he's at a position that's pretty loaded with guys.
I've got another snub, too.
Okay.
All right, name who's on it. Who made it?
I was a little surprised with Brian Anger.
Yeah.
He made it at punter. Yep.
BA, you guys, the second one
since he's been here.
Good job, BA.
Yeah,
I'm making that face because I don't feel like he's had that many opportunities in comparison.
Right,
we were talking about it pregame.
Yeah.
If we were saying in pregame, we were watching him warm up, and we were talking about him. We're like, if this team was not very good, Brian Anger would be an All Pro.
Oh, yeah.
That was what we were talking about. Like, if this team wasn't very good and he had more numbers to add to it, he would be an All Pro.
BA's a beast.
He's a Pro Bowler.
They just haven't punted a whole lot this year.
Mm-hmm. Right. So the other 6, though, are pretty obvious. Brandon Aubrey, Deron Bland.
Mm-hmm. So hold on, wait.
Yes.
Both are specialists.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And Trent Sigg, the
long
snapper.
Has that happened before?
I don't know. Trent Sigg, by the way, was like 2nd or 3rd in voting, too. He was very close as a long snapper.
That doesn't happen. A punter and a kicker from the same team making a Pro Bowl. That does not happen often. It can't.
I'm sure it's happened before.
But how frequent? I haven't heard of that.
Yeah, not often.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like truly amazing. And how much of an advantage is that to have on your roster?
Gosh, you love special teams.
I mean, that's huge to be able to change the field of play
and to be able to get points, you know what I'm saying, consistent points. That's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, so both the specialists, Deron Bland, obviously because of his interceptions and pick sixes, was going to be hard to keep that guy off of there. And then Dak Prescott, Micah Parsons, CeeDee Lamb, Zach Martin.
See, there's a name that I'm missing. I'm interested to see if you agree.
I think there's really only one other person outside of DeMarcus Lawrence.
D-Law doesn't have the sack numbers, 100%. But his impact on every other aspect of the game is crazy.
Yeah, and he's had one of his best seasons.
Correct. Yeah. And but the Pro Bowl is a stat-based
voting.
Accolade.
Yeah.
So I get it from that standpoint, but in terms of impact, I definitely think D-Law should have been on there. In terms of who else, secondary, don't think they missed.
No.
Linebacker, no.
No.
D-line, no. Receiver.
Maybe Osa on the D-line, maybe, but that's not the name I'm talking about.
Tight end.
NFC, he's getting there.
No. Running back, no.
No.
You're closing O-line. In. There you go.
Tyler.
That's the only other one I was thinking of.
Your best offensive lineman this season has been Tyler's.
You think he's been better than Zach Martin?
Okay, Zach, I feel like I put Zach in his own category. Yeah. Like, that's kind of by itself. But even at times, I mean, he's been really, really good this year. On film, Tyler Smith has been leading.
If you take Zach Martin's name off his jersey, is he your best offensive lineman this year? Be honest.
See, I think it would be would be neck and neck with him and Tyler.
Yeah.
It would be neck and neck.
I would lean towards Zach, but that just going off things I've heard from other people, I wouldn't go off of my own offensive line assessment on that.
I think Zach has been really good this year, don't get me wrong, and deserving of a Pro Bowl, but so is Tyler Smith. Tyler Smith, you could argue, is better.
Who got put in his place? Who's voted ahead of him?
I knew you were going to ask me this.
That was a Beamer question. I was just saying Beamer was on.
I know one of them was Chris Lindstrom from the Falcons.
I've got an answer to one of your questions.
What's that, Beamer?
2018 Pro Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Johnny Hecker, Rams. Greg Zuerlein, Rams.
Yep.
Oh.
Jake McQuaid, Rams. Greg all three
of them. Wow, they were the trifecta.
And by the way, the return specialist that year, Pharaoh Cooper, Rams.
Whoa. Wow.
A clean sweep.
Who
was the special teams coordinator,
the coordinator
with the Rams?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know?
Bones?
Yeah.
Bones Fossil.
Wow, Bones.
Yeah.
So you go.
Here are your NFC offensive linemen.
Okay.
Okay. Now, of course, these things can change.
Sure.
And let's be honest, the Cowboys don't want any of their players to be playing in this game because they want to be playing meaningful games. But
they want to be in the other bowl.
And neither does San Francisco.
I don't have any issues with any of these tackles. The three tackles are Trent Williams, Lane Johnson, Penei Sewell.
I can't stand Lane Johnson or Trent Williams, so
they're really good.
I'm out on them.
All right. Centers, Jason Kelce, Frank Ragnow from the Lions.
Okay.
No issues there.
Yeah.
Guards, Zach Martin, Chris Lindstrom from the Falcons, Landon Dickerson from the Eagles. Those are the three.
So it's pretty much Dickerson or Smith.
Yeah.
There you go.
I guarantee that's probably what it was. So Dickerson have fun in the Pro Bowl. Yeah, have fun in the Pro Bowl. Tyler Smith will be playing for rings.
Let's
see what that happens.
Saying it with your chest early this week, huh?
I don't know.
Pretty aggressive.
Yeah. Pretty aggressive. Any other news and notes before we...
Shout out to Bones Fossil, man.
You can do a quick... if you just glanced at the injury report off yesterday's practice, it's one of those typical Wednesday ones. It's
pretty loaded.
Yeah, it can kind of scare you a little bit when you just glance through. But it's a lot of guys that just were getting rest days. So I'd say the most notable ones, probably Hankins being limited.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that... There's very easily he could have not practiced at all, but being limited, I think that's a good sign for him. Seeing him out there at the very beginning, when we were out there, I thought that was a good sign. Outside of that, Tyler Smith did not practice. We saw him on cords.
Yeah.
Also on cords, DeMarvian Overshown.
Oh!
Thought that was interesting.
Yeah, how about that?
The Shown of Over?
Yeah.
Mm. How'd he look, man? I guess we can't talk about that.
I'll be honest with you. I thought he looked pretty good moving around.
I thought he did, too.
He looked pretty big.
I thought the way that he was able to...
He been in the weight room?
It looked like it. He looked bigger than he had earlier.
From an upper body standpoint,
he looks like playing in the gym.
he looked good. He did. And he was happy. He was having a smile on his face. He was joking back and forth with Britt Brown. And I mean, those are the two of the best personalities on the team, both on the bands at the same time. Yeah, it was Britt and then Tyler Smith and DeMarvian Overshown.
There's a lot going on there.
Yeah, it was good to see him back out there. It was both a
discouragement seeing Tyler Smith like not practicing and on the bands, but then at the same time you got a kind of a shot of encouragement with Overshown out there too. So.
A whole season lifting weights with Harold Nash, you're going to be swole.
Even if you were going through an injury rehab,
you're going to be swole.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
They do a great job over there.
Think about doing that in the offseason.
I would pay for
oh, my Lance. John, let me put you on a strength building program for 6 months.
Okay. I'll take you up on that.
Oh, my gosh.
Malik Hooker did not practice. Ankle / illness. That's a tough part there because, I can see with it being an illness, being like, just rest, don't practice today or whatever. I don't know that it would be because of the ankle because there are – like I said, there's a lot of rest guys on here. Brandon Cooks, it was limited, had a rest day. Stephon Gilmore, rest day, limited. Who else? DeMarcus Lawrence didn't practice rest. Jordan Lewis, rest. Zach Martin, rest. Tyron Smith, rest. So
with Malik Hooker, that was where he missed 2 weeks ago. It was the same designation. It was ankle and illness, correct?
I don't remember having illness. I remember an ankle. Was, okay.
I remember going around. Yeah, I remember talking about it with Nate Newton at that point because I thought it was maybe just an illness what he was dealing with, and then it turned into the ankle. So maybe, hopefully, it's not the ankle flaring back up and he misses a game because we saw what happened whenever he was not there for that game against the Bills.
Yeah.
That was not great.
No bueno, my friend.
No bueno. All right. You know what else is no bueno?
What's that, Kyle?
This Washington defense. We're going to talk about it when we come back with more talking Cowboys and some QB vision right after this.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savanna. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Black Rifle Coffee Company serves premium coffee to people who love America. When you drink Black Rifle Coffee, you are directly supporting veterans, law enforcement, and first responders in your community. Black Rifle's expert roasters love coffee almost as much as Texas loves football, so it makes sense that America's Coffee partnered with America's team. Go online at blackriflecoffee.com and fuel up with the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys. That's blackriflecoffee.com to fuel up today.
Cowboys fans, after that move, we've just coined the term Rowdy Replay. Let's roll back the tape.
Okay, there's our mascot Rowdy cheering on the boys, and now he's on his phone on his Bank of America mobile banking app?
Staying on top of his finances with his virtual financial assistant, Erica.
Bank of America's digital tools are so impressive. Cowboys fans just can't stop banking. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/can't stop banking.
Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
Welcome back into Dear Doctor, the show where I answer life's questions with an ice-cold can of Dr. Pepper. Sheila, let's hear from our next caller, would you?
Dear Doctor, my friend supported me during a tough time, but what's the right gift that says, thanks for being a shoulder to cry on?
Okay, this one's easy. I say, give her a delicious Dr. Pepper. Nothing says, thanks, girl, better than a one-of-a-kind soda. Yes, any Dr. Pepper flavor will do. Now, just a reminder that I don't need to be a real doctor to know that Dr. Pepper is the one you deserve.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Back to Talkin' Cowboys.
Back here on Talking Cowboys, presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company. This portion of the show is brought to you by Quaker Oats, a super trusted superfood. Quaker Oats, the official oatmeal sponsor of the Dallas Cowboys. Welcome back in to Isaiah Stanback, John Machota, Chris Beam. Did you have your oats this morning, Isaiah?
They're right here, Kyle. I have not. You stole them.
Oh, dude.
You sandbagging.
I watched how that whole thing went
down. You see that whole thing happen?
I don't like it at all.
I took it from right under your nose.
They were super trusted.
Man, I haven't seen something so slick since I saw three offensive linemen go up to a ref trying to clear his
eyes. Wow.
Sorry.
Bang.
Slick with it.
I like it.
I'll give these back to you, I guess.
Thanks, Kyle. I appreciate that.
I thought about just, what would you have done if I would have just opened it up and just started eating?
I'd be very, very angry.
That'd be fun. All right, let's get into some...
Wide 80, wide 80. It's time for QB Vision with Isaiah Standback.
Well, Kyle, well, JM, well, Cowboys Nation, there's not a lot here, and I'm sorry to report that. I would love to give you guys all these tips and tricks and things to look out for and what to be aware of and who to watch, and there's just not a lot of that.
And that does it for QB Vision.
Yeah, it's really not, man. Trust me, I looked hard, trying to find anything that was a talking point. All I can find were two players. And it's the same two players that everybody knows about with this team, and that is 93, 94, Daron Payne and Jonathan Allen. Those dudes are dudes. They're still there. They lost a couple of their comrades, but they're still balling. So definitely keep your eye on a swivel in terms of those guys up front. Everything still revolves around them. They can disrupt the game if you allow them to. And how do you stop these guys one-on-one? Well, you don't. You know, that's just a reality. Sometimes there's just some guys in this league that you just don't want to run the risk of playing man-to-man or, you know, playing matching up man-to-man. And this is those guys. And we're all familiar. This is nothing new in Cowboys Nation. Those two have been around for a minute, and they've been relentless, and they've been disruptive for a long time. So 93 loves to love. He gets joy out of tearing up whatever the heck you got going on offensively. Now, you could literally legitimately see that just eluding out of him. Like, it's crazy that he just loves being that guy that's like, oh, I was this close. And he's talking to you, and he's getting back on the line, and he's trying to get back there again. And obviously, Payne is still Payne, Big 94. So that's that. In terms of their second level, these guys don't take on blocks very well. These guys are avoiding blocks. They're creating a lot of holes in terms of the running game. If you can find a way to get the 94 and 93 out the way with some combo blocks, then you're in a good position. You can run the rock against these guys because their second level is not stout at all. That's not to say that ours necessarily is in comparison.
Sure.
But I'm just saying, just in general, their second level is not a force. Their secondary is slim to none from my perspective. These guys are running a lot of cover four. Okay, you heard Nick kind of allude to it yesterday. They want to be a too high team. That's what they want to be. They want to sit back and too high all day long. The first time we played these guys were sixth in the league in split safety. Now they're fifth, so nothing has changed. They're still that team. That's still who they are at the core. In terms of pressure rate, okay, let's go to the pressure rate. Well, when we faced them the first time, they were 21st in the league in pressures, and they were 10th in the league in blitz. Well, now they're 30th in the league in pressures, and they're 14th in the league in blitz. So they have rescinded that way. They've gone backwards. They're not moving in the right direction. Obviously, on either side of the ball, and defensively is no different. In terms of what they try to do to confuse you defensively, they will sit in that too high shell in their cover four look, right, where the corners are sitting off about 8 yards, the safeties are sitting at about 12 yards deep, okay, and 12 to 15 yards deep, and they're all just looking in. Okay, you'll see the corners kind of angle in a little bit. They're literally trying to keep everything inside. If you had a receiver running at you in cover four, you want to funnel it in to your help. Right, so if I'm a corner and you're a safety and Kyle's a receiver, I want to keep Kyle on the inside of my shoulder so that I can funnel him into you if he decides to do anything else.
That's just a numbers game and positioning more than anything.
Absolutely,
because
right?
You've got 10 guys that can help you inside. You've got a sideline.
Correct.
That's it on the outside.
Correct. So that's what they do in cover four, right? Two high guys. You got the other corners that are sitting off, not as deep, but just about 8 yards. Well, whenever they try to change the game up, they'll go to single high and they'll go to cover three. Ooh, right. And the only thing that you have to look for is the safeties, because the corners aren't necessarily going to give you anything different than what they give you in cover four. They're going to be off. They're going to be outside. They're going to be looking in. That's what they do in cover four. That's what they do in cover three. Their responsibilities from the outside are pretty much the same. Only change is now, instead of having two guys over in the middle, right, lining up on a hash, now they're rolling one of those safeties down. Sometimes they do it early. Sometimes they'll do it at the snap of the ball. Mm-hmm. Nothing crazy here. We're talking about college level coverages here.
This isn't the level of disguising
that Detroit
did last week.
No. Detroit was much higher in terms of disguise and much more efficient. And they and obviously Dallas handled it very well.
Sure.
So there was no issues in with Detroit. I don't foresee there being any issues with the Commanders. Those are literally the two primary coverages that they run. Every so often they'll go into a Tampa 2. They'll go into a cover 2 in which the corners are rolled up, safeties go to their halves, and then you have a middle linebacker that turns and goes with what we call the number 3 receiver or the inside seam route, right? He'll turn and run with that to try to take that away. Outside of that, there's done a lot that they're doing. I just mentioned that their pressure rate is at the bottom of the league. Their blitz rate is right in smack dab in the middle. They're zoning up, a majority of the time. There's nothing there.
So you would not be surprised that the Commanders did not have anybody make the Pro Bowl.
Nobody.
Zero.
Nobody.
Yeah, I'm surprised, man.
Because I look at their, like you mentioned, when you look at the depth chart, the first thing you look at is the defensive tackle spot.
9-3, 9-4.
And it had been one of those things when I would look at this team, it would be the entire defensive line.
Correct.
And you think of Chase Young and you think of Montez Sweat.
Mm-hmm.
Montez Sweat did make the Pro Bowl.
Wearing
a different uniform. He was one of the defensive ends. Nick Bosa, Montez Sweat, Aiden Hutchinson. So the interior defensive linemen, though, because I do think of Daron Payne and Jonathan Allen as Pro Bowl-type players. But for the NFC, the interior defensive linemen were Aaron Donald, Dexter Lawrence, and Javon Hargrave. You don't think any of these guys are playing on that level of those?
I don't. I honestly don't feel like their passion is where it's been.
That probably happens when they start trading guys away. Yeah.
You start trading guys away and you're doing losing things and you really don't have a chance. I mean, the fans don't like to hear that you're not giving 100%, but at the end of the day, when you're in the situation that they're in, most likely it appears as if these guys are pretty much checking the box. I'm here. I'm doing my job. You're not getting anything more out of me. That's the sense that I get. And that's me projecting. I don't know what they feel, but that's what it looks like in comparison.
They make it pretty adamant. Yeah. I mean, Jonathan Allen, after they I forgot who they lost to earlier in the year. I think it was the Saints.
He went off.
I think you read the quote eloquently stated because there was profanity scattered throughout it. And he said, I'm blanking tired of this blank.
Yep.
And he's talking about losing.
Absolutely.
He said that he's had 7 years of it. And there have been times where at least the front seven of Washington is formidable, or you've got weapons on the outside like a Terry McLaurin and a Jahan Dotson, guys that are legitimate receivers, legitimate weapons that you can build around on offense. They can't block and they can't put pressure on the quarterback. Yeah. They lose the trench battle almost every single week, and that's why they're losing games at a significant battle. And even with Jonathan Allen and Daron Payne, I almost said Daron Blaine.
No, Payne.
And Payne in there too, they still haven't been able to win the trenches.
No, but the thing is, again, and I harp on this a lot of times, and this is why I say like personnel matchups are so important in the NFL. Like these guys are deciding to not play as hard as they can. This is a decision for them to not be as disruptive as they can be. And it's hard for a lot of people who have never really been in that position to understand that. But if this was a team that was on the cusp of the playoffs, you would see two different dudes.
It's like seeing Dalvin Cook with the Jets and seeing Dalvin Cook with the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, that's just kind of what it is.
Might be. It's true.
I'm kidding.
Can I flip it on you real quick?
Yeah,
here, though?
For sure.
Let's just hypothetically say that they move on from their coaching staff and they want you to be a part of it on the defensive side of the ball. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to pretend this is a Washington room right now. You've been looking at the defense. Isaiah, who should we be keeping on this defense? Who are some guys going forward for Washington that you're like, they need to keep these guys defensively?
Those two, 93, 94.
That's it.
That's where I'm starting.
Those are the only non-touchables.
Those two have to be here.
Untouchables.
Okay.
Have to be here, and I'm going to do everything in my power to instill in them some form of confidence that we are going to change this thing around. Because I need those two happy. I need those two happy. I need those two to feel. I need them to feel appointed as leaders. Not that they need that, but I need them to know that we're backing them and we have a level of expectation of them that is different than everybody else in that locker room.
The interesting part to me is that. These guys aren't obviously old, but it's just one of those things where with what they've done to trade and where they are draft-wise, it just seems like this team is going to get really young. It seems, they have a lot of draft capital, probably going to draft a young quarterback. how does that line up, though, with an Allen and Payne?
I hear you. You don't find those guys.
Yeah.
As Dallas has found out.
Right.
Right? I mean, no disrespect, but you don't just stumble upon those guys. They're not like an undiscovered receiver that hasn't had the opportunities. They're not a running back that's just been waiting on a really good offensive line to show what they're capable of doing. These guys are single-handed disruptors. And no, they haven't shown it a ton on film, but you see flashes. Mm-hmm. You see flashes. If you see somebody talk some smack to them, you can see them nodding their head, and in the next play, they're freaking lifting these boys up like a forklift. They can be dominant. It's no different than when Dallas played the Rams earlier in the season.
Yeah.
All right? What do we say? We say Aaron Donald is still freaking Aaron Donald. We sit up here, had a whole debate about it. And I said, Aaron Donald, still Aaron Donald. And what happened on that first series?
He was Aaron Donald.
He was freaking Aaron Donald. But after Dallas went up, what happened?
He
shut it down.
Yeah. He so shut it down, right? The offensive line shouldn't do anything.
Don't talk to him. Yeah. Don't talk to these two dudes. Don't talk to them.
Don't poke the bear.
No, bring them some freaking Thin Mints, Tic Tacs, whatever you need. Like, just give them some candy, I don't know what the sponsors are, but give them a little Black Rifle coffee, you know what I'm saying?
Man, Duran, you're playing great today.
Hey, man.
Hey, guy, man. Your haircut is amazing. Yeah, even with the helmet on.
Little off topic. Did you see the NFL mic'd up for Max Crosby against the Colts? Did you see that clip that came out yesterday? Yes. I don't think he sacked Minshew, but he hit Minshew and he hit him pretty good. He said, "Sit down, small blank boy."
Oh, okay.
Called him I guess I could say that word on this here. He said, "Small ass boy." That's what he said. And then it cuts to Minshew on the sideline. He goes, "Max Crosby is so angry all the time."
Yeah, I could tell that from the Netflix documentary on the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
The Mahomes part there was a good portion from that. One of their Raiders games when Chiefs played the Raiders and just their back and forth constantly throughout. Oh, yeah. So that doesn't surprise me. But, yeah, maybe that just brings out the best in some of these guys.
It depends on how you play. And
it's a trigger.
Those guys on the interior of Washington, you don't want to poke those guys.
No, don't poke the bear.
They'll make it happen.
And especially if they know that they can. So, and I know this probably sounds weird for a lot of people, but, Payne and Allen, let them just be.
Yeah.
Do your assignment. Don't give them an extra push. Don't do anything that's going to, like you said, don't poke the bear. Reason being, if you aggravate them, and this is not just saying bow down to them, right? I know a lot of people, "Oh, my gosh, you can't be scared."
I get what you're saying. You're not saying praise them or
But you better have a high regard for these two dudes because they can single-handedly. If you try to play them one-on-one, they will throw you out the club. I don't care who you are. Right, you could go back into history books. I'm sure Zach Martin won some matchups. There's a lot of matchups that he didn't win against these two guys. Right, so these guys can dominate you. Just don't poke the bear, because if you give them any incentive to disrupt what the heck you got going on in terms of trying to get the second seed, you might just get a different version than what you've seen on film.
Yeah,
or you might just get the version of them that's just trying to hurry up and clean out their locker.
Yeah. I just funny because when you said it, made me think of AJ Brown calling Stephon Gilmore an old man.
Yeah, absolutely. Right?
Fire.
That's it. Yeah. Right? They poked a bear. Gilmore was perfectly fine just being Gilmore.
Right.
Quiet.
He is so even keel.
You know what I'm saying?
Then it pissed him off.
5 o'clock shadow.
He went back to defensive player of the year.
Right.
And then he came out with a fresh lineup in the second half. You know what I'm saying? Like don't mess with Gilmore.
it is funny because you've got two versions of this Washington team that are going to show up.
Yep.
You've got the one version that's playing for their head coach, that's playing to end the season strong, playing for pride, playing to try and spoil the Cowboys and try and up in the division or yada, yada, yada.
Playing for yourself, too. You want to put good tape out.
No doubt. And players always are going to do that regardless. That's plain and simple. Or you're going to get the other side of it that's tired of losing, tired of this continued losing mentality. And then from a coaching staff or even a front office standpoint, you're looking at a team that's going to have the second overall pick.
Hey, let me ask you guys something on that. It's a good point. Do you guys think that you call a game differently from a Cowboys standpoint, Elvin? Let's try some stuff early to try and get up on these guys that maybe we wouldn't do in some other games?
I want to run it up. I personally want to run it up.
Yeah.
Respectfully, I want to run it up so I can sit my guys.
Well,
because you don't have the benefit that a lot of these other teams have right now. You don't get the... You know, you don't get the option of sitting Lamar Jackson and playing Huntley. You don't get the options of sitting your starters. I mean, Lamar Jackson can sit for, 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Right.
You know, so you don't have that luxury. So what can you gain? Like, you take anything you can. Let's hurry up and finish this thing in the first half, if possible. I'm not saying that's an easy thing to do in the NFL. But if possible, let's freaking blow these cats out respectfully and then just go sit down with our main guys. Like, that's your goal.
I'm not saying that that's easy to execute, but that is your intention as a coach. So, yes, from my standpoint, I'm definitely being more aggressive.
I'm going to talk about that a little bit more after our second break. When we come back, there's a number that's a little bit concerning for me going into this matchup, and it's something that the Cowboys have a chance to fix prior to going into the playoffs. I'll tell you what that is. And then this situation reminds me of one that happened a couple years ago as well. I'll tell you about that as well. If, of course, that were to come to fruition and how that could help the Cowboys going into the postseason, with more Talking Cowboys returning in a moment.
They say champions are remembered, but legends are never forgotten. United Ag and Turf offers a winning lineup of John Deere equipment built to tackle any challenge on and off the field. Legendary John Deere tractors, combines, residential mowers, commercial mowers, compact construction equipment, Gator utility vehicles, and a full line of golf and sports turf equipment. United Ag and Turf, the official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com to find a location near you.
Are you ready to take coffee off your grocery list forever? Black Rifle Coffee Club is here to help. As a coffee club member, you'll get your favorite coffees roasted, packaged, and shipped to your door free of charge on your preferred schedule. Set it, forget it, and never run low on coffee again. Members also get exclusive deals on coffee, products, and discounts from partner brands. Ease your mind and let Black Rifle worry about your coffee supply. Go to BlackRifleCoffee.com to join the coffee club today.
It's the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys, Jack Black. And right now, Cowboys fans can get 15% off their $75 order. Plus, because every deal needs a playmaker, your order will include a free 5-piece skincare set and free shipping. The Jack Black Playmaker is 4 of Jack's favorites and a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Make a play for the playmaker at GetJackBlack.com/Cowboys with the code CowboysVIP. That's GetJackBlack.com. JackBlack.com/Cowboys with the code CowboysVIP.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Back to Talking Cowboys.
Back here on Talking Cowboys, this segment of the show is brought to you by Invisalign, the official smile of the Dallas Cowboys. So you got done with QB Vision, and then you just go straight to the Quaker Oats.
I was delayed because somebody stole them.
Yeah, dude. Were you going to eat them in the middle of QB Vision? I was just trying to help you out.
I love right our now. Sponsors. Thanks. There you go, Beamer.
Now, Beamer's in the back getting it done.
I love our freaking sponsors, man.
Where have you used that smile for? Is that, is that like elementary school picture? I would love probably. You got a little laser beams in the background.
I get so mad. So
faded look one direction, and then you've got the one looking in the camera.
I get so mad every year. Like my eyes close when I smile. Right, yeah. It has always been an issue for me. But now my daughter has the same exact features. And every year she takes school photos, the photographer is always like, "Open your eyes." I'm like, "No, leave my daughter smile alone."
I've heard that for different reasons throughout my life. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, exactly. Beamer, exactly. Get this man.
There's a number that's a bit concerning, both at home, on the road. We've heard that split, right? We've heard of the Cowboys' struggles away from AT&T Stadium. In terms of point differential over the past 3 weeks, the Cowboys are minus 22. And, of course, they've lost two games, and they've won the one game, and they lost one game by 1 point. They won the other game by 1 point. So that kind of evens out. Those 22 points are from the Buffalo blowout. But their minus 22 point differential over the past 3 weeks is the worst by any team currently in playoff position in both the NFC and AFC. Only the Vikings minus 32 is worse among teams in playoff contention.
So So you don't care about it when they're blowing everybody out and their point differential is like plus 1,462.
Exactly.
But when it's you're playing good teams and then it goes down.
But there's a way for you to turn that around, and that's by getting up early.
Yeah.
And that's by trying to make a statement early. I think it's important to get off to a hot start in this game more than any other game that we've ever had or that we've had this year, that the Cowboys have had this year. And it throws me back to 2021 on the road at Philadelphia. You remember this game? You might remember this game. You made the trip up there, Lincoln Financial. Philadelphia wasn't really in contention. The Cowboys had seeding purposes that they could win, and they had already locked up the division, but they had a chance to go and help improve their playoff scenario. What they did is they blew out Philadelphia 51-26. Dak Prescott threw for 5 touchdowns. He broke NFL record or franchise record that day for touchdown passes. Basically came out and just put it on them pretty early and often. They were up 30-17 at halftime.
Okay.
That's what I would hope happens this week. I hope it's that same mentality of, hey, you've got something to do. Doesn't matter what that other team is doing on the opposite side. Do what you have to do to get up early and take care of business.
Sam Howell's coming out playing for his life, though, man. He's trying to put out some good tape.
He is.
Gardner Minshew was coming hero out ball. For his life that day. Jalen Hurts wasn't playing. Bienemy? He wants to try and throw it around a little bit?
I think so.
They don't have anybody to block. They can't block for anybody. They're the most sacked team in the league for a reason.
I get it.
He also throws the more.
You don't think Bienemy's trying to throw his head in there and his hand in the pot for head coach?
I'd say the flip side of it, though, also, I kind of wrote up a little bit about this for today on The Athletic. This could be a huge game for Micah Parsons in terms of right now he is like, if the season ended today, I think Myles Garrett gets Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah.
But if you get Micah Parsons to have one of those games kind of like Aiden Hutchinson just had, the 3 sacks, maybe he gets it because of that. Mm. Five sacks, you know?
That would be fun.
That's
5 sack day for Micah? What if it's like 2.5 sacks and a forced fumble that he recovers?
He runs back?
No run back. Mm. Run back would be too easy. No run back. Just forces it and it recovers.
Because it's running abilities?
Going by the Vegas odds.
He has to jump on top of it.
Going by the Vegas odds, it's pretty much turned into a three horse race at the very end here of the season. It's between Myles Garrett, Micah Parsons, and T.J. Watt. And everybody else, like Max Crosby, the next guy, but it's considerably way farther down on the list. So it pretty much comes down to those three. Micah, first 2 years in the league, has finished second for the award each of those 2 years. I think if he has a big game in this one, I think he could end. I mean, because they would win the division, they get the 2 seed. It would make a ton of sense that would be enough for him to win the award finally.
Garrett's not playing this week. He'll sit out for Cleveland, I believe. I don't want to say that specifically. I think he's not playing. T.J. Watt will probably play this week. Yeah. So Micah Parsons has a chance if he's maybe that number 2 guy on that list in terms of the odds. If he does go off and that's the lasting impression going into the postseason, yeah, I think there's a considerable chance. It'd be interesting to see. What do you think it would take for him to really distance himself from a game standpoint?
Pretty much Aiden Hutchinson's game.
Yeah.
Three sacks like that. I know he won
5 sacks.
2 or 3 sacks. And, again, I think them winning division, the fact that he was second the last 2 years, I think that the voters would give him the benefit of the doubt. I think he'd get it.
With Dak Prescott closing in on his franchise record, 37 touchdown passes, he's at 32. Do you think he can equal or surpass that? He was at 32 going into that Philly game 2 years ago when he broke the record, and he had 5 touchdown passes.
I don't see that happening.
Don't see it.
Isaiah doesn't want him to be on the field that long.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a good point. It's a good point.
I hope he doesn't get it.
Yeah. Mm. It's possible, though. Mm.
How do
because there's a little bit of that. Let's play with some good mojo going into the playoffs of a blowout win
some on the
healthy players. That's okay. True. Okay. And Mike McCarthy would agree with you on that too.
Yes. People would be sick if shout out. I mean, prayers up for Bradley Chubb, but what happened to him? That was
for
terrible.
Sure.
Yeah, that's true. Good point. All right, that does it for us here on Talking Cowboys. Before we go, John, you'll be making the trip to Washington.
Let's go.
What happens on Sunday?
Cowboys 31, Commanders 20.
Oh, yeah.
Decent game.
I think it's going to be a decent game. Okay. There's something about going up there.
It's, yeah.
It's the worst stadium in the league.
It is. That's factual.
It's just, it's not, nothing about it is good experience.
Now that the Oakland Coliseum's not in there anymore.
Right. I'm interested to see how new ownership, if there's been any changes, is it too soon in the change to maybe make some of these? But it's just been kind of a place where I've gone there multiple times thinking the Cowboys are going to blow out the Commanders or the Washington football team or any previous name. And they just, I don't know, they kind of hang around for a little bit. I know this team's different, but.
If you see Magic, tell him I said what's up.
I will. I will. Maybe he'll be their next coach.
For sure.
No. That would be.
I'd like to see that.
That would be interesting. I'm down. All right, there you go. 31-20. Decent game. Have a safe trip. We'll see you back here on Tuesday. We'll see if Isaiah's here on Tuesday. You think you'll make it on Tuesday?
No.
Good luck, man. I'm rooting for your boys.
Thank you, sir.
Will you be here on Monday?
Big Huskies fan.
I'll be here Monday.
You'll be here Monday. Okay.
I'll be here Monday.
Yeah, good luck.
Thank you, sir.
Have fun. All right. That'll do it for us today. We'll have Josh Rodriguez on the show tomorrow. For Chris Beam, Isaiah Stanback, John Machota, I'm Kyle Yeoman saying so long from Talking Cowboys. We'll see you tomorrow.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?